The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Amen. Tuesday is our election day. And I want to encourage everyone to, if you haven't already, many have already voted, absentee and otherwise, get out and vote. We have a privilege, the honor of being able to choose our leaders. We don't want to take that lightly. So I just want to encourage everyone, vote your morals, vote your conscience, vote, and make sure that you're hearing from God when you vote. That's all I can say to you. I just encourage you to pray and seek God. Hallelujah. For we need some change. But the change that we need most needs to happen in the church. Amen. That's what God has told us, you know. If my people are called by my name, that's us. If we'll cry out to him, if we'll pray, if we'll seek his face, he has promised he'll hear from heaven if we will repent and turn from our wicked ways. We like to make a big deal about the wicked ways of the world. But God is pointing to us, to the church of Jesus Christ, to mend our ways, to get things straight and right with Almighty God. And thank God we have this advocate, Jesus, on our behalf. We can come to him. I'm not telling anybody you have to be perfect. I'm just telling you that you can always run to Jesus. Let your heart be after the living God. Amen? Amen. Glory. Once again, I'd like to thank everyone for last week. It was just incredible, awesome. What a surprise. Tammy and I just, you know, all week we've been kind of basking in that. It was awesome to get the cards from everyone. You know, one of the things about pastor appreciation, and you know, every year they have pastor appreciation, and sometimes we've just been given gifts by the church. The deacons have given us gifts, and we always appreciate that. And anything that is done for pastor appreciation, we just thank you. We appreciate it. But I got to tell you, this was very special this year with not only the gifts that the church gave us, but individual cards and gifts that we received. But the most important part was the cards. You know, being able to open those cards and hear your heart and what you're saying to us and how much you love us and care for us. You know, we're going to hang on to those for a long time, because sometimes we get notes and letters and comments that are not so uplifting. So it's always good to have those things to go back to and say, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hallelujah. It's not as bad as those people think it is. Hallelujah. All right, we've been talking about spiritual warfare. And it is extremely important that we understand that we are in a battle. Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in heavenly or high places. The enemy is all around and all over. And we have an enemy that we need to do warfare against. But I want you to understand something when it comes to this warfare. We do not want to spend too much time concentrating on the enemy. We need to understand that we are victorious. We have weapons of warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. We have everything we need to be victorious warriors in the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Thank God for that.
Yes.
But we do also need to recognize that we have an enemy, and that enemy wants to tear us down. He wants to tear you down individually. He wants to destroy your family. And my goodness, he has done quite a job of that here in the United States, destroying families.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
The enemy is on the prowl. The wiles of the devil is what we have to look out for. That's the reason we must recognize that we are soldiers. This is not a game we are in. It's nice, you know, praise God we live in a country where we have the ability to come here on Sunday morning, go to any church you want to go to, worship any way you want to, not worship if you don't want to. You know, thank God we have a country like that. But because of our freedom, sometimes we take lightly the battle that we are in. We're not looking. You know, physically, that first century church, they were physically persecuted. Emotionally persecuted. They were persecuted on all sides. And they understood the battle that they were in. Now, we're not. But we still have this battle. And if we do not fight the battle correctly, it may come to that. We have to get on our knees before Almighty God. We have to take a stand. We must recognize that we are soldiers. 2 Timothy 2:4 tells us, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. You are enlisted as a soldier. Now, you enlisted. You have to understand that. Jesus didn't twist your arm.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit didn't beat you and make you come into the kingdom of God. You enlisted in this army. And if you enlisted in this army, then you must be a good soldier. And you will try to please the one that has enlisted you. Amen. Jesus. You know, a few years ago, trying to remember the last time, was the Vietnam War the last time that there was a mandatory draft? Back that far? Back then, you didn't have a choice. If your number came up, you had to go. Now, some chose to go to Canada and not go, but if your number came up and you wanted to continue to be a citizen of the United States, you had to go. Once you're in the army, and many back then enlisted, but once you're in the army, you are committed to do the work and to do what God has called you to. You know, I read a story about a young man who was enlisted or who was drafted during the Korean War, and he really didn't want to go to the Army, so he was going to try to make it really tough on anybody that he came in contact with. So, first thing is that they were doing his physical. He came in, and he encountered this doctor that seemed to be very mild-mannered, soft-spoken, and he said to this young man, he said, can you read those letters on the wall real softly? And the young man, just trying to be difficult, he looked around. He said, what letters? And the doctor boomed out, thank you, young man. You just passed a hearing test. You can be dismissed. Our general, Jesus Christ, is trying to teach you to be obedient in his kingdom. He wants you to understand that you're a soldier and you need to be a good soldier in the kingdom. So we've been talking about these things. And by the way, Otis, I appreciate you laughing at my crazy little joke there. You made me feel a little better. Hallelujah. Ephesians 6, 13 through 18, we've been looking at that. And it talks about having proper gear, proper attire to go into battle. Now, I'm not going to read all that this morning because we're going to move on with this message. But I just want to say that it is important that you're dressed properly when we go into this battle every day. And we've been given all that we need, the right combat gear to go into this battle on a daily basis. You know, my grandson, played flag football this year, and really all they needed was the right shoes, and they just wore jerseys with their name on it and shorts and the flags that hung on the side, because it was no contact. But next year, he's planning on playing contact football. At least that's what he's talking about, and everybody's talking about. I'm not sure his mom's going to let him, but that's what he wants to do. He wants to play tackle football. Things are going to change when they start playing tackle football. You got to get the right gear. You got to get the right helmet. You got to get the shoulder pads and all the proper pads in place, or you're going to get hurt playing tackle football. The right gear. That's, we just have to realize there are certain things you've got to have, the right attire, the right uniform. And that goes for this battle that we are in. Paul pointed out to us, the first thing we need is the belt of truth. And that is the truth of the Word of God. We've talked about that. Breastplate of righteousness, knowing that you are righteous according to the blood of Jesus Christ. You cannot earn your salvation. The righteousness that you have is in Christ. Shoes of peace, the gospel of peace, knowing that you have the gospel of Jesus Christ wherever you go. The peace that you have in your soul, knowing that the kingdom of God is yours because Jesus did the work for you. Shield of faith. Faith is so important. And when we walk about in this life, we must have this shield of faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. If we have this faith, if we have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, we'll say to this mountain, be removed, cast into the sea, and it'll be done for you. These are incredible principles that we find in the truth of the Word of God. Last week we talked about the helmet of salvation. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. A believer in Jesus Christ has the mind of Christ, of Jesus. Hallelujah. We can rely on the wisdom, the understanding, the knowledge that Jesus has given us on a daily basis. That's why this helmet of salvation is so important. And as I talked last week, we recognize that through these portals that we have, our eyes, our ears, and even our mouth, our smell, that many times we allow things to come into our mind that are not appropriate. We have to guard ourselves. This helmet of salvation will help us do that when we recognize that we have the ability to stop the thoughts that the enemy would try to plant in our mind. We can overcome. But we have to be about, we have to recognize how important it is to guard against these things. You have to guard yourself. You can't set yourself down in front of a television where there's a bunch of junk going on and fill your mind with the garbage. That's right. Allow your children to sit in front of the garbage and still think that you're going to walk about with the mind of Christ. Just a little bit of that stuff. Whether it's TV, radio, it doesn't matter what it is. A little bit of that stuff will destroy you. It will get in and do much damage. You know, Miss Jane bakes some pies for us every once in a while. And she is an awesome cook, great baker, and I love her pies. Recently, she baked me a cream pie, and she said she was going to start baking something else, and I said, no, please don't. I like cream pies. Keep them going. But you know, those pies are so delicious, and I know Miss Jane, she's a very conscientious baker, and I'm sure that she keeps things clean. I've been in her house, and I know that things are nice, so I eat those pies and not even think twice about it. But you know, if someday I would find out that Miss Jane goes out in the yard and picks up dog poop, that would be pretty awful, wouldn't it? You know, And she did that with her bare hands, and then she came back in and without washing her hands baked the pie for me? Would I know it unless I found out about it? Absolutely not. You couldn't tell. But that pie would be tainted. It'd be just a little bit of dog poop in it. And you know what? I don't want to eat a pie with a little bit of dog poop in it. Amen? Sometimes we just get a little bit of nasty. But it can infiltrate the whole being if we're not careful. So we have to be careful with what we're allowing in, what's going on. All right, today we're going to talk about the sword of the Spirit. And of course, we have this Roman sword. Now, the Romans had various swords, but this is the one that they used most often in battle, in hand-to-hand combat, close-quarter combat. Because it's small, it's compact, but it'll do a lot of damage. In fact, the Romans learned a technique where they would just thrust it in and not just pull it back out. They'd thrust it in and twist and pull it back out. Brother, I just want you to come up and let me demonstrate. No. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Hallelujah. That's a smart man. So they did, even if it went in a little bit, if they did a twist like that, it would do horrendous damage to the internal organs. And also, when they were in battle, if they were cutting, they could cut this way. They could bring it back because it's a two-edged sword. Hebrews tells us that the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It can do much damage to our enemy. So what we're looking at here this morning is the reality of a real weapon or something in the physical that is, and something in the spiritual that is compared to this weapon. We recognize the kind of damage that this can do, but do we really recognize the kind of damage that the Word of God can do to the enemy? I don't think we do. We take it lightly sometimes. We're not really serious about this Word of God. But when I speak the Word of God, it goes forth. And if the enemy is trying to stop or hinder anything that we're doing, we can stop him in his tracks. It's like cutting him to pieces. We can dice him up with the Word of God, with this sword of the Spirit. It's powerful. It's real. It's the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And then, of course, Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing asunder joints and marrow, bone. And I just lost my train of thought there for a minute, so you just have to go to the Bible and get the rest of that. Now, I've got it right here in front of me. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The power of God, the Word of God, is that powerful. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 4, verse 2 through 11. Now, I want to show you what happens when we understand, know, and use the Word of God. Jesus is our example. Amen?
Amen?
Okay. Matthew chapter 4, beginning with verse 2. Jesus has been driven into the wilderness, or sent into the wilderness by God and the Holy Spirit. And he's out there and he's been praying, he's been seeking God, and he's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And afterward, he was hungry. Now, I don't know how many have fasted in here, but I'm fasting, just a few days of fasting. One day of fasting, if you're not used to it, will make you wish you never heard of fasting. Amen? I mean, if you're completely totally fasting. Now, sometimes we do partial fasts. Sometimes, you know, I usually when we call a fast here in the church, we just ask individuals to decide what you're going to fast and how you're going to fast. But I have fasted complete food fasts many times. And I just got to tell you, it's difficult because you're overcoming your flesh. Your flesh says, feed me, feed me, feed me. That's why it's prayer and fasting. When your flesh says, feed me, you go to prayer. It drives you to prayer. It drives you to into the presence of God. Because you want to be a faithful soldier. Amen? All right, now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Have you ever been in a situation where the enemy has come to you and say, well, you know, it'll be all right if you do this or if you do that? Surely we have. And how does Jesus handle this? He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Jesus had the word of God. He was quoting scripture. He was telling the enemy exactly what God had said. He knew the word of God. That's how powerful it is. And the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. And he said, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hand they shall bear you up unless you dash your foot against a stone. The enemy is quoting scripture. Jesus said to him, it is written. Once again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. This is exciting for us as believers, because we see that we have this sword of the Spirit. Not a physical sword. It's a sword of the Spirit that can dice up the enemy. And when we use it, you can see right there, Jesus using the word of God, and it stopped the enemy in his tracks. It was cutting him both ways. He didn't have any other objection to Jesus. He couldn't answer the word of God. When you stand and believe the word of God, you are on a firm, solid foundation. Amen? Consequently, we need to understand that God's word is like this sword. It's a blow to Satan both directions. It's like dicing him up. And we have the same authority in our life because Jesus delegated to us the word. He delegated to us authority. In Matthew 28:18, he says this, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go there and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What was Jesus doing? He was delegating his authority to his disciples, delegating his authority to his future church, delegating his authority to anyone who would accept Jesus as their personal Savior, delegating his authority to his army. You know, an army has to have authority. We walk, you know, when we see even our police officers, we know that they have authority. They are backed up by the law. So when we're driving down the road and we're driving a little over the speed limit and we see a state patrol sitting along the road, what's our first reaction? You let up on the gas, just a little bit. Amen? At least that's what you should do. It's too late. I want to tell you that. It's too late by then. You've already been caught. But our natural reaction is, that guy has authority. That's the reaction of the enemy. Now, if that police officer doesn't do anything, then you realize, well, he didn't exercise his authority. He allowed me to get by with driving 70 in a 60 zone. Amen? I'm not going to ask how many men do that. Is there any women that speed in this place? Oh, I see some. They're being pointed at. Yeah. All right. It was his ability to choose whether he was going to exercise his authority. Right. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because you have the ability. You have the authority. Come on, man. You do not always exercise that authority. That's right. That's good. That's right. And if you don't exercise that authority, sometimes you don't exercise that authority because you don't have the boldness, you don't recognize the authority that you really have in that situation. And if you don't recognize your authority, guess what? The enemy is going to run right over top of you. But if you exercise your authority, you know who you are in Jesus Christ, the enemy is stopped in his tracks. And you overcome him by the word of God and the power of your testimony. It's the blood of the Lamb and the power of our testimony that we overcome this enemy. And when we know who we are in Christ, we can stop his attacks. Now, am I trying to tell you that you're not going to have any problems in this world? No, 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 no. Please understand, this natural world that we live in, you're going to have difficulties. You're going to have ups and downs and things. You're going to go through stuff. How many go through stuff in your life? All right. We got it. Come on. Some of you didn't raise your hand, but I know that you go through stuff. Everyone does. We have these things that we have to deal with in life. And it's not that Jesus is going to make a bed of roses for us and we never have to go through stuff. It's that when we go through stuff, he's there with us. He's going to make a way, and he's promised us that he's going to be with us as we go through it. But here's the thing. We will go through it. Amen. We get to go through it on the other side. Yes, sir. And come out on the other side. And it's hard to understand. I can't give you all the answers, but I know what the Word of God says. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. I qualify. Hallelujah. Amen. You qualify for that. Thank you, Amen. It's awesome to know that our God is with us. He's going to bring us out on the other side. Authority in this scripture that we just talked about is the power of authority, influence, and of rights and privileges. It also means the power of rule or government, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. Whew. That's Satan. He has to hear. He has to obey. And all his imps have to hear and obey. Because it's the Word of God. God speaks with ultimate authority in this universe. And He has given us the ability to speak His Word and stand on it. God is an awesome and mighty God. He is awesome. He is so powerful. Who are you serving? That's what I ask you this morning. Who have you given your allegiance to? Do you serve the living God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind? Or are you just kind of half-hearted? Are you an enlisted soldier that's not really committed? Oh, Leah. Leland, did you ever have any soldiers that you were in service with that were not really committed? Sometimes, huh? Those kind of soldiers don't last long. And one thing for sure, I want you to understand, you cannot afford to go into battle with those kind of soldiers. Because a half-committed soldier is not only not committed to Jesus, he's not committed to the body of Christ. I want to encourage you. Be committed. Be committed wholeheartedly, completely, and totally. Commit your life to serve the living God. It's one thing to know Jesus as your personal Savior. To be saved, it's another thing to make Him Lord and Commander of your life. When you make Him Lord and Commander of your life, it changes your direction. The choices that you make in your life are based on what you believe God wants you to do, not based on what feels good to me. Too many times in my past, I've made decisions that was based on what felt good to me. And they hardly ever turned out very good. The one good thing I did was marry Tammy. Amen. Hallelujah. That was a good decision. But when I start making Jesus Christ the center of my decisions, when I seek God and I decide that I want to serve the living God with all my heart, soul, and mind, those decisions that I make are difficult decisions. I want you to understand it's not always easy to make the decisions that God asks you to make. But if you make them, you will stay on the right track.
That's right.
You'll not get off.
Right.
We have a living God that loves you, that cares deeply for you, that is asking things of you. A good soldier is trying to please the one who enlisted him. Jesus has enlisted you into this army. Are you sold out? You know, I don't know if everyone is. All I can say is, as for me and my house, we choose to serve the Lord. I'm just trying to encourage you to come on board.
That's right. Amen.
To be wholehearted in your efforts to serve God. Some of you may be making some decisions right now that are going to be life-changing. Maybe you've already made some life-changing decisions. Some of them haven't turned out so good. All I can tell you is it doesn't matter if you've made some mistakes. We still have a living God. The moment you say, God, I want to please you, that's when He starts redirecting your life in your direction. That's when He starts intervening in your life. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He'll not force you to do anything. He'll not ask anything of you that you're not willing to do. But He will continue to speak to your heart so that you will follow His ways. He's an awesome and mighty God that we serve. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to wrap my message up right there. I know it's not been real long, but I think that it's important that we deal with our hearts this morning, that we recognize who we are, that we see that we're in this battle, and the battle is raging, and we've got to get serious about serving God. We've got to get serious about planting our families on a firm foundation of Jesus Christ. Stand with me this morning. You know, sometimes it's not easy to be a believer in Jesus Christ and live in this world, do the things that have to be done in this world, and still take a stand for Jesus Christ. A young man by the name of Desmond T. Doss was born in Lynchburg, Virginia. And he grew up during the time of the Great Depression. He was a teenager and then became a man during that period of time. And when World War II broke out, he wanted to serve his country. The problem was that he was a Seventh-day Adventist. And Seventh-day Adventists do not believe in taking up arms against anybody. I'm not advocating or being negative about that. I'm just telling you his belief. But he wanted to serve his country. So he enlisted. But he enlisted as a conscientious objector. If you don't know what that is, that's a person who goes into the service and will do anything he's asked to do except carry a rifle and shoot people. So he was put into a particular company, the 307th Infantry, and he was made the medic. Now, normally medics will still carry rifles, but in this case, he refused. Well, during World War II, the Battle of Okinawa took place, where they were taking several islands, and Doss Company and his battalion was called up, the 307th Infantry. And it was a fierce battle for many days to take those islands. And during that period of time, Doss Company was engaged in battle. Desmond T. Doss, a man who refused to take up a weapon to kill anybody, amazingly went into battle with his comrades. He came within many times as a medic, and he bandaged wounded soldiers, and over a period of several days, he actually single-handedly carried out 75 men who had been wounded and saved their life. He came within 25 yards of the enemy's position many times so that he could bandage the wounds of his fellow comrades who had fallen. He was amazing during that period of time. He actually became wounded himself, eventually had to be taken out of the battle. But it was amazing what he did. During the period of time prior to this, he had prayed. He had got on his knee before Almighty God. He had asked for protection for these men. And these men had mistreated him. They had made fun of him. They had even beat him up because he refused to do something that they felt was okay. Now, like I said, I'm not on anybody's side here. I want you to hear this story about this guy who, no matter how he was treated, no matter what these guys did to him, it didn't matter. He still went in under fire and bandaged their wounds and carried them out and took care of them. He was so brave in the face of the enemy that he received the Congressional Medal of Honor after the war, or during that period of time. Now, this is a pretty famous, most people, or a lot of people have known about this man. And he is so famous that Mel Gibson is making a movie. I think he's already made the movie, Hacksaw Ridge, out of his story. Now, my point of sharing this with you this morning is I want you to understand that there's going to be difficulties. Whether you agree or disagree with his position, it's not about that. I want you to understand that there's going to be people that are going to say nasty things to you sometimes, merely because you're a believer in Jesus Christ. They may abuse you physically, you know, verbally. I don't know. It's a possibility. It can happen. The question is, are we committed? You're going to have problems with believers right here in this place. Some have problems with their brothers and sisters, and they pack up and they go someplace else. Doss chose to go into the battle with the same men that abused him and mistreated him to save their life. What are we going to do in the kingdom of God? Are we committed to one another? Are we committed even to this world, no matter what they say or do to us? Committed enough to say, Jesus loves you. I'm not saying that we back up on our commitments, that we gloss over the things that we believe are important. Family, marriage, sexuality, all these things that we take a stand on, we still stand, but we're going to love no matter what. And it's going to be exhibited in our actions toward one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you this morning. You're an awesome and mighty God. And we're not perfect people. We sometimes make mistakes, say things, do things, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. But what we are asking, Lord, that you just use us, use your people to change your kingdom, to change this world and to expand your kingdom. Thank you, Father God, that you are guiding and directing us every day of our life. Help us to be strong, to be faithful. Thank you for this battle that we are in, Lord God, for we are strong and mighty in the battle because you are with us. Strengthen your people, Lord. Encourage us. Cause us to rise up, to be strong and faithful, to stand together, to overlook one another's faults, Lord, to encourage each other, to glorify your holy name. Lord, we will do this as we go forth into this world to proclaim Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you'd like to have healing prayer, please come up. Elders will pray with you. I'd like to ask prayer warriors to come and pray if anybody would like to have special prayer.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.